This is Report to Wyoming.
I'm Colby Fedor, and my guest today is Cyrus Western. He serves as the EPA Region 8 Administrator. He was appointed earlier this year by President Donald Trump, and he now leads the implementation of the administration's environmental agenda priorities in Wyoming, as well as Colorado, Utah, Montana, North and South Dakota, and with 28 federally recognized tribes. Western is a Sheridan County Republican who served as a state representative for three terms. When I called him this morning, he said he was in Denver, but he sure misses Wyoming, especially this time of year. He misses the fall and hunting season. The main reason for the call was that I could talk to him a little bit more about new EPA requirements mandating that diesel trucks must provide substantial runtime or mileage before power is reduced, also known as limp mode. Without further ado, here is the recording. Briefly, how did you end up in the Region 8 office?
Yeah, so I served in the legislature in Cheyenne, and I was the majority whip in the House, and it was a great experience getting to serve in the legislature and participate in this, this really incredible process of doing the people's business, of making laws. And so I did that until last year. And then obviously President Trump won in 2024. And with any new administration, there's all these political positions across the federal government, whether it's Department of Defense or the State Department or USDA. And in this case, the EPA, they have these regional administrators. There's 10 of them across the country, and the Region 8 administrator regulates most of the Rocky Mountain West. And so when this opportunity came up, I couldn't say no. And so it was really exciting to take this position and be a presidential nominee and work directly for the president. You know, he's got an excellent agenda that's, I think, really in line with Wyoming and promoting extractive industries. I think getting regulation back in a reasonable and sensible place. So it was an opportunity that I could not pass up. And it's been a lot of work, but it's been a huge honor to work for the president.
I'm sure you're still drinking from a fire hose and there's lots to be done. What are some of the imminent changes that are your top priorities?
Yeah, well, I think Administrator Zeldin, who is the president's nominee to lead the EPA, she has his five pillars out. And one of those pillars, I think that's most relevant to your listeners and to Wyoming, is energy dominance and ensuring that we we have are in the driver's seat for our energy consumption, and that we are producing very affordable, very reliable energy, whether it's at the gas pump or at the utility level, and so that we are reducing the living costs for all Americans. And in Wyoming, energy production is something that we've been doing extremely well for many decades, whether that's oil and gas or whether that's coal. And so some of the regulatory rollbacks that Administrator Zeldin has initiated, I think, are right down the fairway for this administration and certainly for Wyoming, and getting those regulations back in the right place and kind of getting regulations out of the way and allowing Wyoming energy producers to do what they do best.
Mm. And then for people who are not in that industry, just people driving their cars and using cars for work, what kind of changes are on the horizon for us?
Yeah, and I, one thing that Administrator Zeldin has really emphasized is his first pillar, which is human health and the environment, ensuring that every American has access to clean air, clean land, and clean water. And so we are continuing to do our statutory work, the supreme laws of the land, whether it's the Clean Water Act or the Safe Drinking Water Act. These really important pieces of legislation, we continue to do our jobs, do what the law requires us to do, and ensure that we are serving the American public.
And then I want to shift to your role in the changes to diesel vehicles, and then particularly how it pertains to farmers and ranchers.
Yeah, absolutely. If it's okay, I'd like to give a little bit of background information, kind of set the stage of how we got here and what was the problem that a lot of folks in ag were having.
Oh, absolutely.
Under Obama's first term, The EPA initiated some of these regulations that required some of these vehicle makers, so whether it's Ford or GM or Caterpillar or John Deere or anybody that was making products with a diesel engine, to adhere to these new emission standards. And so that all sounds good, right? We want cleaner air, we want less emissions. Those are, generally speaking, those are good things. And so, unfortunately, it was having some negative impacts. And so what it was doing was these exhaust gas recycle systems that were that these manufacturers are having to put in these diesel engines, they were having some of these issues with this DEF fluid, this diesel exhaust fluid. And so the diesel exhaust fluid basically took, forced these exhaust systems to recycle that gas and to burn it again, to burn it cleaner. Again, in theory, that sounds great. The unfortunate thing is that these DEF systems, if they are not running properly, or if the computers that control these diesel engines, get a kind of a false positive on these systems, they can shut the system down or make it go with what's called limp mode. So, for example, if you're driving, you know, your Dodge Cummins down the road, and you have this issue with the DEF system, it will force the engine into limp mode, meaning it'll slow you down to about 5, maybe 10 miles an hour. And so, you know, in Wyoming, look, if you're on the interstate or if you're working in oil and gas and you work out on these rigs out in the middle of nowhere, it can be a real problem, right? You know, where it can be 40, 50 miles. And so it's not just a huge inconvenience, but it can also be a safety issue as well. You know, one of the issues that was happening across the country was some of these fire engines. You know, when they have to respond to a fire, and if it goes into limp mode because there's a sensor that's not working properly or some other issue, you know, these fire trucks can go into limp mode, and it really slows down their response time to these emergencies. And in the case of agriculture, there's a similar issue as well, where if if it's the middle of harvest season or it's haying season, and, you know, you're out there in your swather or, you know, in your baler, and all of a sudden, you know, you go into limp mode because it ran a faulty sensor, and it can be, sometimes it can even be days before you can get these things fixed and back up and running. And as you're well aware, when you are in harvest season or, you know, haying season, time is money. And if you have a piece of equipment that can go down for hours or days, that can have a really big financial impact on you. And so that was the problem that we were facing for a long time. And I think Administrator Zeldin took decisive steps to put things in at least a step in the right direction. And so what he did and in working with these big manufacturers, again, you know, John Deere or Massey Ferguson or, you know, GM or Ford, is basically saying that you can't just automatically shut down these engines or force them into limp mode, that you have to give 36 hours was the updated number before forcing these engines into limp mode, which, you know, longer would be great, but I think that's a good solid number to give folks that break or that reprieve so they can get something fixed quickly and get that equipment back into service. So the good news is the folks who have these equipment is going to get a lot more time to get these things fixed before you have to take them offline.
In terms of getting out in front of this thing, what's the timeline for you guys making the changes, and how do you do it?
So this rulemaking was announced early last month, so it's been in effect, and so we are working with these big manufacturers to ensure that for the new model years, so for the 26, 27 model years, that they have the special programming to ensure that they don't immediately go into limp mode. And for folks, you know, I think a follow-up question would be, well, that's good for the new year, the new models, but what about for folks who have an older and existing model? Mm. And so you can go into your dealerships and they have the ability to program those codes into this machinery and so ensure that for these older model, these older year models, that this is effective for them as well.
And are there already people who have purchased models that have been upgraded with the old administration's agenda?
There have been, and that's one of the things we're trying to communicate to these manufacturers and to the public and saying, hey, you can take this into the dealership at no cost to you. Get the codes, these engine control module codes, get them upgraded to ensure that you get more time to fix some of these issues.
Okay, just wanted to make sure I was understanding you correctly. And then in the future, those models, are they already manufacturing what you say, like up to code or whatever the new regulations are those already being manufactured, or is there a wait time on that?
All those, I think it's model year 26, 27, all those models, whether again it's a swather or whether it's a combine harvester or whatever it may be, those will have those updated codes. So if for whatever reason there is a faulty sensor in your diesel and the diesel exhaust system or whatever it may be, it gives you quite a bit more time to get those fixed before going into limp mode.
How is your office gauging public reception of all this?
You know, we're definitely paying attention, and thus far, the initial response has been that this is welcome news. I think folks, you know, they'd like us to, you know, there are additional steps they'd like us to take. First step in the right direction. You know, I was talking to you know, some farmers down here in Colorado in the Eastern Plains, and it was resoundingly positive that they had been in those situations where this machinery, you know, ran a fault code and they had to take it offline. And it really hurt them. And they said giving that extra day and a half or so will absolutely be helpful for when the situation arises again.
It is definitely, like farmers have expressed to me, how hard it is feeding people. And it's a tough job. And I know that whenever there's something that maybe stifles their ability to do that job as efficiently as possible, definitely we hear about it. And there's a lot of grumbling. So I appreciate that you're doing your part to try to make it a little bit easier for farmers and ranchers. I'm curious, what all is Region 8 in charge of?
Yeah, so, you know, really, if a lot of these large-scale industrial projects or industry activities, so, you know, power generation, right? Wyoming is a big power generation state. We've got Naughton, Jim Bridger, Dave Johnston, Laramie River Station. You know, we produce a lot of megawatts, coal-fired and gas-fired megawatts, right? So those facilities generate emissions, and the EPA is one of the primary regulators. And very fortunately, the state of Wyoming has taken what's called primacy. So it basically says the state can say, you know, okay, Washington, D.C., okay, EPA, you're technically the primary regulator of these air emissions. However, if we hire the right technical staff and the right experts, and we have them on our staff, we want to be the primary regulator. And so these are agreements that the state of Wyoming, that the EPA has engaged with the state of Wyoming, allowing them to be the primary regulator of some of these mediums. And I think if there's a lot of credit due to Cheyenne and to the Department of Environmental Quality. They've got really good staff, and they've done a really good job being the primary regulator, because it's in line with something that Administrator Zeldin has called cooperative federalism. Basically just saying to the states, hey, you know, we're not going to be the big bad EPA where we thump our chest and tell you how it's going to be. We want to have a much more collaborative relationship where we have a conversation about, hey, how can we help you? How can we empower you to be the primary regulator? Because something that Administrator Zeldin has emphasized many times is, you know, Montana knows Montana best, Utah knows Utah best, and Wyoming knows Wyoming best. So we want Wyoming regulators to be in the driver's seat when it comes to regulating air, land, and water in the state of Wyoming.
Very good. Okay. I don't have any other questions. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about in the next couple of minutes?
No, I'd say those are the big ones. Obviously, as things continue to come up, you know, Administrator Zeldin and President Trump are continuing to, you know, to pursue that deregulatory agenda. That I think which is what I think, you know, voters really wanted, and that was the message they sent the ballot box last November. So we are continuing to pursue deregulatory actions. I think that will be genuinely good for the Rocky Mountain West and for Wyoming specifically. So as those unfold and as they happen, I will be sure to reach out to you.
This has been Report to Wyoming, presented in the public interest by Town Square Media.